Good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. Recently awarded the best hunting and fishing show on from 5 to 7 a.m. on WCBM 680 on Saturdays. Yes, Brian just gave me that award, and we thank him for that. Phone number is 4. That's our producer, Brian Farlow, in there. He's going to answer the phone. He promises not to yell at you, but he has a variety of buttons in there that can do various things to the phone line. Not true. We're at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Come on, let's start this off with a phone call. There's got to be something on your mind. It's a little after 5. We know you're up and moving. We know you're out there getting ready to dive into the turkey woods or head on the boat and do a little fishing. So, or maybe you'd like to. Maybe you've got a squirrel in your attic, a bat in your belfry. Maybe you've got a groundhog under your shed. Maybe you've got some troubling wildlife. Maybe you have a question about deer or turkeys or crayfish or who knows what. But you can certainly give us a call here, and we'll try to answer it. At least we'll have a discussion about it. And that phone number again is 410-922-6680. 1-800-922-6680. For those of you who are outside the local dialing area, greater Baltimore region, anywhere in the state of Maryland, you can reach us on the 800 line. Well, I've been out and about this week. We received the latest Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazine from the printers on Monday. We haven't put it online yet because I've been derelict in my duties at doing one particular thing that needs to be done before we can do that because I've been so busy. But I've been a little bit of everywhere. I've been as far west as Hancock. I've been as far east as the Delaware line in Cecil County. I've been as far south as St. Mary's County, Mechanicsville, down that way this week, and get to visit with a lot of nice people. We'll get to hear about the different stories about fishing and turkey hunting. The striped bass season has turned out to be a pretty good one after the first weekend when it was kind of a blowout. But the fish are here. Some people believe that the fish have yet to spawn because of the water temperature. Early on, they were catching just fish filled with roe that hadn't spawned, according to some reports. And later on, they're catching big fish. We pretty much think that the fish are on the way out. One of the pound netters we heard had 700 striped bass in his pound net while he was trying to fish for alewife bunker. But let's see. Oh, Thomas has an interesting question. Good morning, Thomas. How are you? Thanks for coming to the Outdoors and Radio Show.
All right.
What's up?
I wanted to ask you about buffalo meat.
Okay. What do you want to know about it?
What nutrition does it have, and where can I buy some?
Buffalo. Are you talking about American bison that used to roam the plains in the United States by the millions? Okay.
Yes.
Buffalo meat, as you call it, American bison, is tremendously good meat. It is high in protein, a little bit lower in cholesterol than your standard beef that's raised for meat. And you can buy it at some select grocery stores. There is a buffalo farm in northern Baltimore County where you can go and purchase it. There is also a buffalo farm on the Carroll County, Pennsylvania line in Lineboro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already cut. It's already packaged. It's already ready to go for you.
Unless that's in Carroll County.
Lineboro, which is up 140, right, Brian? No, up Route 30. Yeah, right, Route 30 to Lineboro Road. It's up through Hampstead and up through that way.
So where is the other one at? You said north.
I think that one is straight up 83 to, let's see, where is it? Hereford.
Oh, okay.
Up 83.
Do you know if I can order it and it'd be sent to me, or I have to go personally?
No, I'm sure you could order it via phone call with a credit card, or maybe online. I'm not sure.
Do you have a number?
No, sir, I do not. You'll have to look online.
Okay, and what's the name of the one?
Sir, I don't remember their names, to be honest with you. I just know the location. If you look on online, do you have a computer, Thomas?
Yes.
All right, look online, Google Maryland Buffalo Meat or something like that. I'm sure that'll give it to you.
All right, thank you, Dan.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. Thomas wants to know where there's some buffalo meat. So I don't know. But that brings up an interesting question. You would consider that possibly an exotic, whereas had you lived in the Southern Plains back in the 1800s, maybe that would be a staple in your diet. Yeah, you can find it. So, Oh, coffee's good this morning. Hold on a minute. I gotta take another hit of that. Good deal, good deal. Yes, indeed. So what about exotic meats? What about venison that you can purchase? Not venison that on the hoof. I mean, although it's very good and I love venison. I haven't had any in a couple of days. Haven't had any in a couple of weeks, actually. I got to get some venison out of the freezer and try that. So, but I love venison. But there is venison available commercially. It's primarily red stag. It's red stag. Farm-raised, pen-raised. And it has a little different grain, a little different flavor. There's buffalo. There's such things as exotic meat, like ostrich and emu that you can get, which is pretty good stuff. There's alligator. Of course, we're getting into a different world there as far as the reptile stuff. But and even the emu and ostrich is bird like poultry. But I have eaten a number of different things. I've eaten bear sausage. I've eaten pronghorn antelope. I've eaten elk. I have eaten bison, American bison. I have eaten a variety of smaller critters like rabbits and squirrels. I've eaten muskrat, which is quite a tradition on the Lower Eastern Shore here in Maryland. I've eaten wild beaver, which makes a tremendous barbecue. So let's talk to Mark in Eldersburg, and then we'll talk to Roy in White Marsh. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
I just purchased a new Lodge Logic Dutch oven. Received mail, and I'm anxious to do some cooking with it.
Okay.
Wondered if you could recommend some venison recipes.
Oh, venison in a Dutch oven is excellent. Just your basic Brunswick stew with venison is good. We have done a lot of sour beef recipes with venison that is tremendous. Do you like that kind of taste, that sauerbraten taste?
Yes, sir. I love sour beef. My grandmother used to make it all the time.
Well, you can make that with venison, and it's spectacular. Now, we cheat. We use Mrs. Minnick's sauerbraten mix.
Yeah, I've used that also. It's very good.
Yeah, that's all you need, really. But I can imagine if you do that in a Dutch oven, how tasty that would be. But your stews and your stuff like that it will turn out just fine with venison. The key to venison, however, in a Dutch oven's perfect because it cooks slowly. That it's kind of like the precursor to the crock pot, so to speak. But I would always recommend low and slow and lots of moisture when you cook venison, and absolutely no fat. Trim every scrap of fat off of that venison, and you might have to sacrifice a little bit of it, but it will be well worth it if you don't get any fat in the pot.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the sour beef. I'm going camping with my brother Memorial that weekend. He doesn't know I got this, so I kind of want to impress him. So.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, I'm sure you have good cuts of venison to use in it.
Yeah, I got several hindquarters that I'm willing to sacrifice.
Now you're talking, man. Now you're talking. You can You can brown them first, which is basically what I do with them is I just put them in a skillet and flip them over one time, just kind of get the outside done. But you know, if you use a Dutch oven, you can certainly put them in there with the mix and let it go. I mean,
well, I appreciate that information. I'm gonna try it, and then next time I call, I'll let you know how it turns out.
Yeah, and don't forget the ginger snap gravy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, don't forget that. That's a very, 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 very important
part. You're right. I remember ginger snaps in my grandmother's recipe.
Exactly. Yep.
All right, well, you have a good day.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. And let's talk to Roy in White Marsh. Good morning. Roy, how are you?
I'm still around. I just wanted to tell you about a couple of fish my daughter and son-in-law caught down by Bay Bridge a couple of Sundays ago.
Well, let's hear about it.
Okay.
Can you speak up just a little bit, Roy?
Say again?
Can you speak up a little bit?
Okay. So half asleep. Anyway, they went down there by the Bay Bridge, and they were fishing around there, and next thing you know, about quarter after 7 in the morning, they hooked one. It was a 39-incher.
Woo!
Kept on going, and an hour later, they caught the other one, a 34-incher.
Wow.
Packed herself up and come on home and started fixing fish.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, how'd you fix them?
Oh, I don't know. I just know they cleaned them up and fixed them. I think they made some of them steaks, and I think they made some of them fillets.
Yeah.
I had them. I ate some of them, but I don't remember exactly. I ate some Monday, in fact.
Right.
So, anyway.
Very good.
They're out there. It's just being lucky enough to be the right spot and catch them.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Of course, they're not regular fishermen. They're just regular old fishermen that go out once in a while, you know.
Sure. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So, I just heard you. I thought I'd touch on.
Well, I'm glad you did, man. I'm glad you did. That's great. And they are very tasty. Now, look, I'm going to give you a little secret on the rockfish as far as cooking them.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the fillets, especially on the smaller fish, if you take a broiler pan in your oven, mm-hmm. you know what I'm talking about, a broiler pan?
Yeah, sure.
Very simple recipe. Do you know what déjeuner is?
What was the name of it?
Déjeuner. It's you can buy it as déjeuner, but it's basically a combination of Dijon mustard and mayonnaise.
Okay.
You can mix it up yourself. If you get a bottle of Grey Poupon and, you know, a jug of mayonnaise and mix them together,
mm-hmm.
slather those fillets on both sides.
Really?
With déjeuner. Pop them in the broiler, turn them once. I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay. I very seldom use the broiler. I'm an old man, and it's just hard for me to clean. I usually do the bacon dish thing.
Bacon dish would work, but try that. Try that déjeuner on there.
I will do that.
And leave the top off if you're going to do it that way. Maybe put a little something under the bacon dish to raise the fillets up off the bacon dish so they don't stick. That work?
Sounds good to me. I'm sure we're going to give it a wing.
All right, buddy. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Thanks, Roy. Bye bye. All right, we got to take a little break here. Let me tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Now, those rockfish were nice fish, no question. Got to be 40 inches to be a citation, and they have had a bunch of citation fish caught this year. That's for sure. It's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. And you could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Great prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab, certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. That's G-O-V. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer.
Catonsville Linux is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linux spray-on bed liner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play.
That caller's name, Thomas. That was for you, Thomas. Enjoy that buffalo meat. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We started out very well with a number of callers, and we'd like to continue that pace. So give us a call here at the number previously mentioned. That was 410-922-WCBM. That's no, that's not right. It's 410-922-6680. 410-WCBM-680, 410-9226. I've only been doing this 25 years. What can I tell you? Moving right along. The invasion of the cicada is about to begin, the 17-year locust. This is one of about 50 broods of this particular brand of cicada. Now, this is not the cicada that you hear every year singing in the trees, the little green one with the gray belly. Nope, this is the 17-year cicada. This is the black one with the orange eyes and trim. Really a cool paint job. I wouldn't mind having a car that looked like that, to be honest with you. Big orange headlights. That would be great. Anyway, these little critters have been in the ground munching on the underground stuff like tree roots and things like that. They're about to emerge by the billions here when the temperature reaches about 64 degrees, typically around the end of May. They'll be here for a few weeks. They'll go away. They don't do any damage except to drive you crazy with the sound and they're flying and the buzzing and that type of thing. And they will lay their eggs in the ends of tree branches. You'll see those tree branches later on in the summer kind of drooping a little bit once the eggs hatch. And but they do no permanent damage to the trees or to the environment. They're here for one purpose, that's to breed and to go back into the ground for another 17 years. That's what they do. They're cool. Now, I got a question from our buddy John up in Pennsylvania. Are they good for fishing bait? Well, that depends. The answer is yes. The answer is that in some of our reservoirs and some places that are populated with a number of fish, in particular carp, will tend to come to the surface and suck these things down like a big vacuum cleaner. Imagine a cicada, and you hear them. They, you know, they vibrate their wings to make that sound. Imagine the cicada flying across Liberty Reservoir or Loch Raven, not quite making it to the other side, dropping into the water while still alive, attempting to fly, causing that vibration. Imagine the magnetism that creates for a fish. It just comes right to that surface. And, of course, once they start to hatch and the fish become more and more aware of them, then they're cruising the surface looking for them. I've had fellows tell me that the carp are dynamite on a fly rod. That, you know, just throw a surface popper bug or fly out there. Something in imitable color like a black, maybe, you know, you can customize it a little bit, but anything black, maybe with a white belly, something like a small, tiny torpedo for spin fishermen, but something that's going to attract the attention on the surface of the water, something small that's going to attack. You know, you're only talking, they're only about an inch and a half long, something like that, maybe. Yeah. So a small, tiny torpedo, maybe a little Rapala that you put out there and just let vibrate, but make sure it looks kind of like a cicada. I suspect you'll have a good time for a number of weeks if you're fishing any, you know, and if it's windy and the water's moving or something like that, it's going to be a little more difficult. But, you know, I would think that smallmouth on the upper Potomac or up on maybe the Monocacy or something like that, I would think they would just knock the crap out of those little baits and maybe even some monster panfish, maybe some crappie, maybe some perch, maybe some maybe largemouth, smallmouth. That might be fun to try and experiment in a farm pond on some largemouth bass with a little cicada imitator. I think that would be pretty cool. So they do have a nutritional value. You no problems eating them if you'd like. I would certainly. I don't think I'd put them in the microwave. I might fry them up or something, but I don't know that I'd put them. Put them in the microwave. But you can give it a try if you're so adventurous, since we're talking about exotic forms of meat. I have eaten alligator, by the way. A little chewy for me, but it's not bad. Doesn't have a bad taste. What else have we eaten that we've enjoyed? Don't think I've ever eaten any wild game that I haven't enjoyed. Or anything crazy. Bird-wise, we've had doves, we've had pheasant, we've had quail, we've had, never had rough grouse. Don't know how that tastes, but I imagine it's not that bad. Well, why don't you call us and share some of your culinary secrets if you'd like, or talk about some of the things that you've enjoyed as far as, you know, I've eaten groundhog, but I've never eaten raccoon. I would love to try that sometime because I understand that that's delicious. But I do like groundhog. So groundhog season is coming up. And, you know, the farmers will be taking the first crop of hay here if it ever stops raining. And that will provide opportunities for those of you who like to hunt groundhogs with a small caliber rifle, anything from a 243 on down to a 17 caliber. I've taken many of them with the 22 Magnum. I like doing that. Used to stalk them when I was a kid. Used to stalk them, find them, and then try and sneak close enough I wasn't one of these long-distance 400-yard guys, but there's certainly nothing wrong with that. I have the gun now capable of doing it, 22-250. A lot of guys use the modern sporting rifles in 223 if you can get the ammunition to hunt groundhogs and do quite well with them. So, is this on? Brian, are we transmitting? We have a signal, really? Huh. Squirrels are pedaling as fast as they can, huh? Huh? How about that? All right. So anyway, I hope that answers any questions about the cicadas. And now we had a great day on the water. We want to thank our buddies Glenn and Ronnie for taking us on the water. One of the local reservoirs the other day. It's my annual giant smallmouth bass fishing trip. If I remember right, we've been doing it every year since 2006. And we had Tom O'Connell, fisheries director, with us the other day. Tom topped the charts with the biggest bass of the day, which was 5 pounds, 13 ounces. Not bad for a smallmouth. Fish was well over 20 inches long. I know right where he caught it. I couldn't catch it. But we wound up with probably 7 or 8 fish over 20 inches. The rest of them weren't shabby, 18, 19 inches. It's a once-a-year thing, and it's a fabulous fishery. Catch and release only, of course. I worked one fish. When I say I worked one fish, I must have cast, I don't know, 100 and some cast, 150 casts at one fish, and had the fish hooked 4 times, and had the fish spit my bait out 5 or 6 times, and I finally quit. And my buddy Glenn, who was captaining the boat, threw in twice and caught it. That fish was just under 5 pounds, 20 3/4 inches long. It was wonderful. Let's talk to Walt Catonsville. Morning, Walt. How you doing, buddy? What's up?
Hey, I got a couple questions for you.
I'm going to try.
If you remember me,
I do.
Like to fish inside the Bay Bridge.
I'm
on the north side of the Bay Bridge.
Lots of fish up there.
There is, right now.
Lots of fish headed. We're thinking they're still headed to or on the spawning grounds at this point.
I'm not allowed to fish them up there, though.
Right? Not all the way up on the flats, no.
No. I'm talking about Purtis Bayish.
Nope. Main stem of the bay only.
Okay. And when would I be able to catch when will I be able to start fishing that?
June 1st.
June 1st.
Yeah, the 16th, the limit changes to 2 fish a day, 18 and 2 fish over 18, or 1 over 18 and 1 over 28.
And that's June 1st.
No, that's May 16th. But the main stem of the bay it's still limited to the main stem of the bay, none of the tributaries.
Oh, okay.
So that you're not allowed to fish the tributaries till 1st of June.
Okay.
And then the limit remains the same, 2 fish over 18 inches.
Okay, and that's June 1st.
Yep.
Okay, I got it noted.
Yep.
Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure, buddy. Have you been out?
I have been in the local lakes up in Columbia and such. Last Tuesday, the Tuesday before, in 2 hours I caught about 20 fish.
What'd you catch?
A bass up to about 16 inches, and they changed the regulation there. Before, you couldn't take any bass until June 1st.
Right.
They changed it to you can keep 1 over 16 and 4 under 12 because it's so overpopulated with bass.
Now, what's the point of keeping a bass under 12 inches?
I realize that, but I think they're on the flyer that they had hung near the launching ramp. Actually, I wasn't in a boat. I was on the bank.
Yeah. Now, which lake is this, Walt?
Pardon me?
Which lake is this?
This would be Centennial Lake.
Centennial Lake, okay.
It's an overpopulation of bass in the lake, and they're trying to get some of the smaller fish out of it.
Okay.
Huh. So I'm assuming that's why they're making you take them.
Now, you said you weren't there until 2 weeks ago.
Yes, this was Tuesday 2 weeks ago. But my friend went out there the other day, and I think as long as the dogwood's got leaves on them, you're going to do okay. Cause,
blooms.
You know, I crouch down, and my techniques are a little bit different than some people.
A little stealthier, are you?
Yeah, you got to be, because, I mean, as soon as the people get on a jogging pass, it seems that the fish will move off the bank.
Yeah.
And the only ones there will be the spawning fish, and every time you go down in there, you spook the spawning fish.
Yeah. Did you see fish on the beds 2 weeks ago?
I did.
Really?
In fact, and I'd be crouching down making my cast.
Yeah.
And I had one fish between 18 to 20 inches pass by me three or four times, a foot and a half away from me.
Yeah, you can't catch those fish.
And they don't bite.
No, you can't catch those fish.
No, you can't. No.
I only ever caught one largemouth on the bed, and that fish was... That fish was 24 and a half inches long, weighed 5.5 pound.
Mm-hmm.
It was up in Lake Somerset. We saw this fish work in the shallows. It was chasing whatever off the beds. I threw everything I had at it. I threw live bait. I threw, you know, a whole bunch of different things at it. Now, we stayed off of it. We didn't pull right up to see it.
Right.
And what I finally caught it on was a Smithwick lure called, similar to a devil's horse, but not. I can't remember what. Rattlin' Rogue. It had a rattle in it. It's a stick bait, like a Rapala or a Rebel. This one happened to be silver, has a propeller on the back end, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I tossed that thing out there and let it sit, and that thing just slammed it. And the fight was on, but that fish—that was a—that was the biggest bass I ever caught in Pennsylvania. So,
I'm strictly a topwater fisherman when it comes to the lakes.
Yeah, well, you're going to enjoy the cicada hatch.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that with I have a different name for the fly rod.
No, I know you do. Yeah, has something to do with a wand. Okay, I got you. But
kind of a pea whip.
Oh, I see. Okay,
and I like to get up there with that, and usually when the sunfish spawn is when I go up there with that and take kids and
you
know, I got bamboo poles.
Yeah,
and all you got to do is drop a little, you know, a little popper out.
Yeah, a little popper, rubber spider, something like that.
Yeah, and there's no reel and there's no nothing. So they drop it out and they pick it up.
Oh, that sounds good. Well, the cicadas, I mean, that cicada hatch, you can throw a big old brushy popper bug out there, you know, on the fly rod, or you can fish topwater with, like I said earlier, a small tiny torpedo or even a small Rapala. That'd be cool to customize a Rapala in black and orange, see what happens.
Woolly buggers have done extremely well in the local Harrod County lakes. Now, I don't only fish Centennial, I fish Elkhorn,
Eddy
McCundee.
Yeah.
You know, they're not far from me, and I get up in the morning early.
Okay, so I got you.
And I'm retired, so
yeah, sure.
I sneak up there every now and then.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Walt. Bye-bye. There he goes. Hey, you know, folks, if you enjoy gardening, and boy, I'll tell you, after this rain, things are just popping. I'd like to recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Now, Papa John's greenhouses are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers. Annuals by the pack or the flat, perennials by the pot, of course, bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets, lots of them, colorful pansies, impatiens, petunias, vincas, all of that. They even carry the proven winter specialty plants. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes and squash and watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot pepper, and herbs also, too, as well. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97. That's on exit 12, 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouses to make your selections, or you can call 410-969-5909. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your church or your garden. Listen, Mother's Day is tomorrow, Sunday. They're going to be busy today. You can get there early. You get there late. They're going to have plenty of selection. But rather than order something online, or rather than order, you know, some goofy bear or, you know, something like that, why why not get Mom the gift that'll just keep on giving? And that'd be a nice plant from Papa John's farm. Think about that. 410-9, hanging basket. That'd be perfect. 969-5909. 410-969-5909. Now, Papa John's is open every day. Take Mom for a drive. Let her pick out what she likes. You can do that tomorrow, Mother's Day. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's farm. It'll grow on you.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bed.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition, and you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
This is Les Kinsolving, an actual headline. ABC News man becomes newswoman. Monday night, 9 to 11 on Talk Radio 688 WCBM.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John. Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
All right, we're back. There goes
Big Bad John.
There goes Big Bad John. Yes, indeed. All right, we're at 410-922-6680. 410-WCBM 680. Just got a message from our guest. Dr. Cindy Driscoll will be joining us here at the top of the hour. We're going to talk a little bit about marine mammals and what to look for. You know, you're out there offshore. You see dolphins. You see porpoises. You see, you know, different things out there. There's a number of things we're going to talk about. We might even talk about Chessie, the manatee that made his debut here in the Chesapeake Bay almost 20 years ago now. So we'll see what happens. I know Cindy was involved in that as well. So we got a little email here from another buddy, John. He said, Dad always taught us not to shoot anything we weren't going to eat, except for crows and pigeons in the farmer's barn and rats in the chicken coop. I've eaten raccoon and groundhog, I believe it or not, even a possum. The raccoon was awesome. But she, I'm assuming his mother, never perfected the groundhog, and the possum both always were very greasy, even when she put it up on the rack. in the baking pan. The raccoon was stuffed with my mom's stuffing and was so good. Have a great day, buddy, and so forth. And we appreciate that, John. Raccoon. Rack of raccoon. So we'll consider eating that if we ever get a decent raccoon. So in the fall of the year, I'm going to guess. Have you eaten anything exotic? Brian, how about you? No? All right. 410-922-6680. Come on, folks. We need a phone call or two here to close out the show this hour. I'd love to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. Maybe you're already having breakfast. Maybe you've got some emu in the freezer that you're thawing out for lunch, or maybe you are maybe you're having a venison burger for breakfast, or some venison sausage, which has happened here on the air. And I know we've had callers that hold on a minute. I know we've had callers that have enjoyed torturing me by telling me what they're having for breakfast. So I'm personally having a Fig Newton and a cup of black coffee. So help me out. 410-922-6680. Now they tell me the coffee maker's broke here at the station. Disabled. Brian, who broke the coffee machine? What's that? One of the people during the week, huh? Well, okay, so be it. I mentioned earlier the new Maryland Hunting Quarterly is out, and it'll soon be online, probably first of the week. I've got to do my due diligence and make a connection that needs to be made before my web guy can launch that. But we've got a couple of pretty good articles in there. We talk about whitetail deer hunting. It's the first of a series of four. Talking about the deer harvest in Baltimore, Carroll, Howard, and Frederick counties. And also the young of the year percentages that are taken in those counties, and what could possibly happen if there were certain types of management strategies put into effect as far as larger deer and more mature deer, less yearlings being taken out. There's a good article by Vic McCallum called What the Deer article is written by E.W. Grimes, who's the president of the Maryland Quality Deer Management Association. Vic McCallum wrote a story on what's in your survival kit, some unusual things that you can carry with you that could help you survive. There's a lot of pictures of good deer. There's a story on what's called magic bulbs for bucks, radishes, daikon radishes, and purple top turnips for deer. We've got the 7th annual Potomac River Waterfowl Show. Did you know there was another waterfowl show in Maryland other than the one in November? This is in St. Mary's County on May 24th and 25th. Artists and wildlife enthusiasts are invited to attend the 7th Annual Community Foundation of Southern Maryland Potomac River Waterfowl Show at the St. Mary's County Fairgrounds in Leonardtown. Now, if you'd like more information, the website is www.CFS, that's Community Foundation, CFSOMD, Community Foundation Southern Maryland, CFSOMD.org/waterfowl show. And you can go to the pre-show, but there's an art show, there's a working decoy competition, outdoor field competitions, there's buy, sell, and swap, free decoy appraisals and identification, a live auction with old decoys and related items, retriever dog demonstrations. So check that out. You can call them, too, if you like, at 301-885-0108. I mean, if you got a computer, you can certainly Google, Southern Maryland Waterfowl Show, and I'm sure you could come right up with it. Let's talk to Bob in Essex. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Alan. How are you doing, buddy?
What's up?
I got a quick question for you.
Go ahead.
Weather permitting today, I might be taking my four-year-old granddaughter fishing for the first time. I belong to a gun club up in Delta, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And they have their annual, like, kid fish day today. They have a little stream up there that they stock.
Right.
And I'm going to be taking her up there, and I'm not sure. What do you recommend bait-wise? I mean, I know the Nightcrawler routine, and I think it was Velveeta cheese you used to use.
Yeah, Velveeta cheese is still good bait. I mean, a lot of people don't use it anymore because of the Berkeley Power Bait thing. And I think I'd probably stick with the Berkeley Power Bait or the Velveeta cheese for a kid just because it's easy.
Okay, yeah.
How old are the kids?
Not quite four.
Oh, definitely then. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're welcome to do night crawlers. Those fish will take anything if they've stocked them just for this.
Right. Now, should you, like, just put a bobber on and come down, like, with a split shot with the hook with the bait on it? You know, just set it.
If you're going to use a power bait, I would just put a split shot on, and because the power bait will float. So okay. I'd put a split shot on enough to keep it on the bottom. It's a pond, right?
No, it's actually a stream.
Oh, it's a stream. Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
I was wondering about, like, with the rain we had last night.
Yeah, you're going to have to check out the conditions. You know, with the night crawler, you might want to try a bobber. But, you know, is the stream going to be too fast to keep it, you know, to move it downstream too fast? You're just going to have to check on that. In that case, with that rain, I would probably tend to go more towards the night crawlers.
Okay.
But if you're going to use power bait, use something bright, like white, green, or orange, something the fish are going to be able to see.
Okay.
And I mean, the kids are four. You're going to be there with the fishing rod. You're going to be helping them, right? You're going to hook the fish and hand it to the kids, I'm sure.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see. Okay, we'll see. But I would still put that split shot on there about 18 inches up, maybe a foot up the line, and let that bounce downstream, because, like I said, that power bait will float.
Okay.
And you just want to slow it down so that it's a little slower than the current.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
She has one of these little, I don't know, like a little Zebco push button.
Yeah. The other thing you might want to consider is, I mean, if there's going to be a lot of kids, I don't know if you want to go cast and retrieve, but any kind of inline spinner, you know, like a MEP spinner, mm-hmm. something like that,
yeah.
something with a lot of flash.
Yeah,
that might be easier for them to use too.
I don't know about her casting. Now that's just a thing. I mean, 4 years old.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to help her with that.
I got my hands full.
Yeah, you do. Well, good for you. Better you than me at this point.
All right, Al. Well, look, I really appreciate your help, Bob.
No problem. Give it a shot. Thanks, Bob. Okay. Let me know how you make out.
Yeah. I'll give you a call probably next weekend.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye bye. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. He has trout fishing gear. Yeah, he has plenty of power bait and inline spinners, like I just mentioned. They've got all the bass fishing lures, the striped bass baits, the umbrellas, and the parachutes in all the popular colors like chartreuse and white, trolling tackle, ultralight tackle, great Shakespeare ugly sticks, plenty of that, and did not mention this for a long time, but they do have reel repair, rod and reel repair there at Clyde Sports Shop, and they can fill your reels with fresh line. Now, I just spooled up the other day for our bass fishing trip, went in and got some great Berkeley line and had a good time catching those fish, and I like to spool up once a year anyway. Clyde's is a great place to do that. For you hunters, you know, bow season's not that far away. They've got a good selection of bows and crossbows. They've got all the firearms, and, you know, they're having the same issues that everybody is as far as ammunition and availability, but it's starting to loosen up a little better. There were more guns in the gun case the other day than I've seen in a while there, so why not stop by? 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108, or hit them online at clydesports.com. Fishing hotline is 247-3474. 247-FISH is the fishing hotline, Clyde Sports Shop. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Fishbones has all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report in the Mid-Bay.
Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
You're on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Now somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. And one day his woman ran off with another guy, hitting young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that. He said, I'm gonna get that boy. So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival.
All right, we're done with Rocky his Raccoon. Rocky Raccoon. What? You played Rocky Raccoon because I said I'd like to try to eat some raccoon someday? I'm going to get... stuff one. I'm going to stuff it and bake it like a turkey, I think. We'll see how that works. By the way, there is a... You might want to check before you eat groundhog. There is a must gland on groundhogs that needs to be removed before you cook them and eat them. That could create havoc with your taste buds if you happen to cook them with that thing on there. So just be a little careful. I think it's on the back strap or somewhere. Anyway... I've never cooked one. I've eaten them, but I've never cooked one. So, anyway, coming up next, Cindy Driscoll, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, Dr. Cindy Driscoll, going to talk to us about marine mammals and sea turtles and the Maryland Sea Mammal and Animal Stranding Program and what to look for, how to tell the difference between... dolphins and porpoises, and we'll talk about some whales and some other stuff. Even Chessie, the sea monster, what turned out to be a manatee all the way from Florida, and quite a bit of history behind the manatee, too. So